The Apostle John opens today's epistle lesson by saying, "Marvel not if the world hate you." I originally began preparing this sermon about a month ago and was struck by this opening statement, but just last week had an experience that gave me an entirely new perspective on these words. Two Thursdays ago, my wife Elaine received a phone call indicating that someone had made violent threats against a group of people that included Elaine and me, and that this individual allegedly had obtained a firearm after making these threats. So we, my family, me personally, we've never dealt with anything like this, and so besides fight or flight responses, we were also confused. Were we really in physical danger? Who do I call to address this kind of situation? Do I need to move? I must admit, I'll speak just for myself, I marveled a bit. And so we spent the next few days on high alert, but also on the phone with various authorities, figuring out what we needed to do to keep ourselves safe, to do what was wise, what was responsible. And to make a long and stressful story short, we're safe. Life is just about back to normal. Things are how they should be. But it was a memorable weekend, to say the least. And so then, when I came back to preparing this sermon, I was immediately fixated on those opening words from John. "Marvel not if the world hate you." In its own way, this experience taught me something. It was an experience of hatred, which John wants us to understand is linked with death. John says, "He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer." The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is death. For John, the hate which characterizes the world is a symptom of death. The world, in John's usage, represents the established order under the rule of sin and death, the kingdom of Satan, as opposed to the kingdom of God. Satan's kingdom is ordered toward death. Hate directs people toward the destruction of their neighbor and the devaluation of life. As hatred is linked with death, love is linked with life. John says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." The love that we as Christians show each other is proof that we have entered eternal life. If we have love, then we cannot be under the rule of death anymore, because love is so closely linked with life. These links between hate and death and love and life are not abstract or theoretical. John can say that hating a brother is murder because both hatred and love are not merely ideals, but are motivating principles that energize concrete behaviors. John urges us to love not in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Love is something that is actualized in the way we live. It is through love that we preserve, uphold, and strengthen the lives of others, starting with the brethren. John says, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" We should also think of St. James's words. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone." Merely wishing well for a brother or sister in need, when we're able to actually meet that need, is not love. Love meets people's needs because to love someone is to work for their good, to strengthen and uphold their life, to work for the good of the one we love. The theological justification that John points to for these claims about hatred and love is remarkable. He tells us that hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. It is because of God's action, specifically the eternal Son dying on the cross in obedience to the Father for the life of the world, that we know God's love. We come to know God the Father by looking at God the Son through eyes of faith which have been opened by God the Holy Spirit. And since we have seen God's love for us in his laying down his life for us on the cross, we also ought now to lay down our own lives for our brothers and sisters. In other words, God's love shapes our love by defining what love looks like for us. And there's a profound paradox here. Love is linked with life for John, yet it is in the death of God that we learn to see his love. We perceive the love of God for us in that he laid down his life, and our response is to go forward and lay down our lives for others. So here we might think that John is now linking love with death instead of life. However, the link between death and hatred is in the figure of the murderer for John. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. The world hates because it is under death. And the way that that works itself out in practice is that people hate their brothers. But God's love is seen in his own death, not in murder, not in hatred, but in self-sacrifice, giving himself up, laying down his own life. That is where we see the love of God. The light of the world entered into the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it, and instead nailed him to the cross. And this is why it's no surprise when the world hates us who are members of God's kingdom. The world acts in hatred because that is its nature, bound as it is under death. In the chapter following today's epistle lesson, John will say that God is love. God acts in love because that's his nature. And therefore, as his people, it has become our nature to be a community of love in opposition to a world of hate that surrounds us. When love and hate collide in the world, the paradigmatic result is the cross. Death seems to defeat life, but the death of Christ on the cross was followed by the resurrection of Christ from the grave. Life, in fact, defeated death. Jesus trampled down death by death, and the love of God thus shines forth for us today to see and, as his people, to imitate in deed and in truth. Beyond merely imitating God's love, however, John makes the point that God's people actually participate in God's love in a deeper way. Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. The Holy Spirit, which is given to us by God, is none other than the third person of the Trinity, God himself, the person whom St. Augustine calls the bond of love between the loving Father and the beloved Son. This bond of love, who is God himself, dwells within us as his people and binds us to each other and to God. It is because of the presence of the Holy Spirit that we are empowered to love the way that God loved us. We are bound to each other and to God with the same bond that God shares in himself as Trinity. The love of God for us and in us and through us is therefore a Trinitarian work of Father, Son, and Spirit. And our lives begin to look more like the life of God. In other words, loving Jesus results in loving our neighbor. And loving our neighbor results in the building up and the strengthening of community, of real community founded on the love of God. Today's gospel lesson is a parable, which is sort of an allegory of the same ideas that John is describing in his epistle. When the Lord of the feast invited his guests, each had the goods of the world to distract him. One bought land, one bought oxen, another took a wife, and each, in response to the invitation, asked, "I pray thee, have me excused." This angered the master, who desired to share his feast with others. And so the unworthy were invited, the lame, the poor, the blind. Ultimately, even those, when even those were not enough, they went to the highways outside the city. Anyone that the servants could find was invited, was brought in to celebrate the feast that the Lord had provided for others out of his own goods, his own self. In the parable, the guests of the feast are the people of God. Not just the expected or the good guests, but the lame and the poor. The guests of the feasts are the brothers and sisters whom John calls us to love in deed and in truth by giving up our lives for them. Ultimately, this looks like what Jesus did on the cross, giving up our lives, laying down our lives for others. And if we're willing to love someone that to that end, the way that Jesus did, then that means nothing else in this life is off the table when it comes to loving each other. Our lives as God's people, the people who have been invited into his feast, members of his kingdom, are lives of love, self-sacrifice, which sees each and every need, no matter how big or small, of our brothers and sisters as an opportunity to lavish them with our own goods, our own resources, our own gifts in order to build up their life, to do the opposite of the world, which is to destroy life. Now, in the parable, we might be quick to identify with the lame and the poor who were brought in from the streets. I mean, it's reasonable enough, I think. In the story, they're the ones who said yes to the invitation. And most of us in this room have said yes to God's invitation. After all, we're here this morning worshiping in his house, right? There is the possibility, however, that we could have more in common with the first group that the master invited. Might we still be praying to be excused from his table? Might we still be distracted by the gifts and the goods of the world? We learn the answer to these questions by looking at whether we love our brothers and sisters the same way that Christ loved us. As John says in the lesson, "Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" God, the Holy Trinity, has loved us, and in his love has called and empowered us to love others in the same way, giving up everything that is ours for the sake of our brothers and sisters, giving up our money, our time, our property, and our very lives is what it means to love the way that God's love. That's what it means to say yes to the invitation to God's feast. And so today, that invitation is extended anew. Enter the house of the Lord. Give up your own life the way he gave up his life. Join in the feast. Choose life over death and the love of God for our brothers and sisters over the hatred of the world. Hear the bidding of the Lord, the master of the feast. Come to the great feast. Taste of the supper of the Lord. Amen.